And the following are the announcements. Evening prayer meeting at 7:10. Evening service at 7:30. And the Reverend Ian Morrison will lead that service. Tuesday, Grace and Scott will get married here at 12 noon. And we wish Grace and Scott every blessing on their wedding day and in their married life together. Thursday, session meeting at 8 p.m. Next Lord's Day, morning prayer time at 11:30. And the morning service at 12 noon. The Reverend Jeff Ballantyne will lead our worship service. And please note the next Lord's Day will be the church picnic after morning worship. And on that occasion, you bring your own eats here. That will be followed by an afternoon service at approximately 2:30 p.m. And the Reverend Jeff Ballantyne will also lead that service. For the young people, the CWISE Summer Conference, the theme this year is Mission at Home and Abroad. It will begin at 3 p.m. For the 11 to 15-year-olds, it will be in Ballyclabber, the speaker, the Reverend Philip Moffat. And note that to have £5 with you for your dinner afterwards. Also at 3 p.m., the 16-plus years will meet in Glenmanus, and their speaker is the Reverend Malcolm Ball. And then at 7 p.m., a combined gathering for all age groups, and the speaker is the Reverend Raymond Blair and guest missionary. These are all the announcements. Welcome to our pulpit today, Mr. George Wright, an elder from our Ballyclare congregation, and I would ask him now to lead us in worship, please.
Well, first of all, I would just like to thank Roy for those warm words of welcome. It is indeed a privilege to be back here among you again. So, our call to worship this morning is taken from the book of Daniel. You don't have to look it up. The book of Daniel, and we're just reading three verses here from it. And this is King Darius writing. To all peoples, nations and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the Lord God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And so we come this morning to worship this great God, and we're going to do so by first of all singing from Psalm 8a. Psalm 8a, and we're going to sing all of this psalm, and the tune is Gainsborough number 91. Psalm 8a. How excellent in all the earth, Lord, our Lord, is your name. You have displayed your glory high above the heavenly frame. From babies and young children's mouths, you have established praise that enemies and vengeful men may be made to cease, all be made to cease. And then when I look up into the heavens, which your own fingers made, unto the moon and to the stars, which you in order laid. Now, if you live in a town or a village with all the lights, you will very seldom see the starry heavens. But if you live out in the countryside and you get a winter's night and a clear sky and you look up into the heavens, and my, what a sight you see. All those thousands and thousands of twinkling stars, and you realize what a great and mighty God that there is. When I look up unto the heavens, which your own fingers made, unto the moon and to the stars, which you in order laid. Oh, what is man that you should him in kind remembrance bear, or what the Son of Man indeed that you for him should care? And certainly when we look up into the glory that God has created, well then man is really small in comparison to the great Creator God. But nevertheless, God honours man. And God raises man up. We read in stanza 5, "For you a little lower than the angels have him made, a crown of glory and renown have placed upon his head. You made him Lord of your hand's works, put all beneath his feet, the animals within the field, the cattle and the sheep, birds of the air, fish of the sea, all through the seas that swim. How excellent in all the earth, Lord, our Lord, is your name." Yes, we come before now God to worship him, to praise this great Creator God. Psalm 8a, and we're going to sing all of it, and we will stand to sing and remain standing for prayer. Let us praise God.
Oh,
Let us come before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just, Lord, come into your holy presence this morning, in and through that perfect righteousness that is of Jesus our Saviour. And, O God, we just want to thank you for this Sabbath morning. Thank you, O God, that we can leave aside all of the different activities and things, Lord, that have occupied us throughout this past week. And we can come into your house, O God, to worship you, to praise you, to magnify your name, to lift up your being. And, O God, we just thank you for the great and mighty, mighty God that we come this morning to worship. We thank you, God, that beside you there is none else, that you are indeed the one and only true God. And, O God, we worship you because of your majesty, your might, Lord, your power, for you are almighty and you are all-powerful. And, O God, we worship you as the great, almighty Creator God, the one who indeed made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And, O God, as we come before you this morning, we realize, O God, that we are sinful men and women. And we realize, O God, that we think things, Lord, we do things, and, O God, we speak things that we should not do. And so, O God, we realize, Lord, that we can often, Lord, sin before you, a holy God. But, O God, we just come asking for your cleansing, for your forgiveness. And we thank you, O God, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And, O God, we just do thank you, Lord, for this church here in Kilrats. We thank you, Lord, for the great witness that has been carried down, Lord, through many, many years. Faithful ministers, faithful, Lord, members, adherents, we praise you, O God, for the work and witness here. And we do pray, O God, that you will continue to bless, Lord, all who would come to this church. We do thank you, Lord, for the elders. We pray, O God, that you will guide them, Lord, especially through this time of vacancy. And we pray, O God, also for the deacons. We pray, Lord, that you will give them great wisdom, Lord, especially, Lord, in relation to the manse. Do help them, Lord, and do provide for them, we pray, in every way. We do pray, Lord, for all of the members and adherents of this church, that you will indeed bless them, Lord. That you will, Lord, strengthen them each one, those who have their trust in you. And, Lord, we remember too today those, Lord, who need your healing touch, Lord. We do pray for the sick and elderly, that you will undertake for them, Lord. And do bring healing, Lord, to those who need healing. And, Lord, we just do thank you too today for the Reverend Joel Lockridge. Do bless Joel, Lord, in his own church in Clough Mills. Bless Joel here, Lord, as he would be interim moderator. And, Lord, we just pray that you will guide the whole congregation concerning, Lord, the call for a new minister. And we pray, O God, and in your perfect will, that there will be a person come here to take up the ministry for your honour and glory. And, Lord, we just pray all of these things now in Jesus' great and mighty and precious name. Amen. Now, we're going to read from God's word, and our reading today is from Titus chapter 2. Now, Titus is not an easy book to find. I know that some people actually have all the books of the Bible. My wife has all the books of the Bible memorized, which is a great way to find places. I'm afraid I don't. So Titus is difficult. It is, comes after 1 and 2 Timothy, and it comes before the book of Hebrews. Comes before the book of Hebrews, although Philemon is just in before it. So, after Timothy and before Hebrews, And we're going to read chapter 2 of Titus. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older woman likewise, that they may be reverent in behaviour, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young woman to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you. Exhort bond servants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, in that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Saviour, in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. We pray that God will bless the reading of his own precious word. Now we will present to God our tithes and offerings. We will further sing to God's praise and glory from Psalm 96C. Psalm 96C, and we're going to sing stanzas 1 to 4 and then 11 to 12. And the tune is Glasgow number 93. Glasgow number 93. Psalm 96. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord, sing all the earth to God. To God sing, bless his name, show still his saving health abroad. Among the heathen nations his glory do declare, and unto all the people show his works that wondrous are. And then stanza 4, for all the gods are idols dumb, which blinded nations fear, but our God is the Lord, by whom the heavens created were. Now, just some years ago, Anne and I were in Hong Kong and were on an outreach team there. And one Saturday afternoon, when we were free, we went to a Buddhist temple. And there were throngs of people. And there were different altars to Buddha. And people were bringing up and presenting at those altars food. They were presenting vegetables. And they were presenting fruit. And also, sometimes, little piglets about this size here, all specially prepared to present to Buddha. It was tragic to look at, so sad. Lovely people, very sincere people, but unfortunately, sincerely wrong. For all the gods are idols dumb, which blinded nations fear, but our God is the Lord by whom the heavens created were. How thankful that we should be that we have been born into a land where we have the Bible, and that we learn from the Bible about the true God to worship. Stanza 12. Before the Lord, because he comes to judge the earth, comes he. He'll judge the world with righteousness, the people faithfully. Yes, God the Son is coming to judge the world. So let us sing praise to God, and we'll stand and remain standing for prayer.
Stay.
Now, just before we'll pray, but just before praying, I would like just to share with you, we're going to pray for the persecuted church. And just very quickly, I follow an organization for the persecuted church, Release International Mission. Some of you, I'm sure, are aware of it. And I follow a prayer diary. And anyhow, I must say, shocked that I know so many are in prison, but can you remember back 2004? Don't know what you were doing in 2004, but since then, think of the years that have gone in since 2004. Now, this doctor from Eritrea, he has now spent 20 years in prison, and in May past, and he has never been charged with a crime or been tried in a court of law. Please pray for him and his family, a wife and three sons and a daughter. And this is Eritrea. And then another man in Eritrea, he has been in prison for 17 years. And they're still in prison. And anyhow, he has not had a trial either or had a charge. And there is no indication when these men are going to be released. And he also has a wife and three children. Hard to credit 20 years in prison and not even knowing when you're ever going to get out. So let us come before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just, Lord, want to thank you today, Lord, for the wonderful freedom that we have in this country, Lord, to come to your house and to worship you and to praise you, Lord. And, oh God, we just do, we can, Lord, so often take this freedom for granted. But, Lord, we just do thank you for your blessing to us. And we do remember, Lord, especially these two men, Lord, and their pray, oh God, that you will be with them in prison. Pray even today, Lord, that they will know your presence, Lord, know your grace, know your strength, Lord, and comfort, Lord. Put your loving arms around them and just bless them, Lord, abundantly. And Lord, we just do pray too for their wives and children at home. Lord, we pray for them, Lord, at home without a father figure, without a husband. And Lord, we pray that you will bless the families. We pray, O God, that you will supply all of their material needs. And just pray that you will strengthen them, Lord, in their faith. And Lord, we remember the many in prison, Lord, in North Korea, Lord, in India, Lord, in China, and so many different countries. Lord, be with all such, we pray this day. And Lord, we just pray that you will bless, Lord, those who are being persecuted for their faith. Lord, do preserve, protect them, and do strengthen them each one this day, we pray. And Heavenly Father, changing, Lord, from a subject that is sad and difficult, we come now, Lord, to a glad event. And, oh God, we just do thank and praise you, Lord, for the wedding that will take place here on Tuesday. We thank you, God, for Grace and Scott. We thank you, God, for your providence in bringing them together. We thank you, Lord, for their families. And we thank you for that parental influence, Lord, and blessing, Lord, that they have had throughout their lives. We thank you, God, for their Christian faith and for their trust in you. And, oh God, we pray that you will richly bless them, Lord, as they get married here. We pray, oh God, that they will have a really happy day. And we pray, oh God, that you will bless, Lord, the home that they will establish. Pray that it will indeed be a godly home and that you will be honored. And we pray that you will bless them both with many happy years of marriage. And Lord, we just do pray now that you will speak through your word to our hearts today. We thank you, Lord, for how your word can encourage us, can bless us, and can challenge us. And so, Lord, just bless as we hear your word this day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to sing again, this time from Psalm 63. Psalm 63, and we're going to sing stanzas 1 to 6. And the tune is Wiltshire 178. Wiltshire 178. Psalm 63. O you, my God, I'll early seek. My soul, it thirsts for you. In dry land, weary, waterless, my flesh longs after you. Stanza 3. Because your grace is more than life, my lips you praise will give. I in your name will lift my hands and bless you while I live. Because your grace is more than life. Yes, God gives us physical life, but God also gives us spiritual life. So let us sing Psalm 63 and our second stanzas 1 to 6. Let us praise God. Now, in the millennium year 2000, Anne and I visited a Polish friend, Anya, in Gdansk, Poland, at Easter time. Very early on the Sunday morning, we took a train to the city of Malbork, it was Anya's hometown, about 30 miles south of Gdansk. And arriving at our parents' home, we were treated to a lovely Easter Sunday morning traditional breakfast, which is the custom in Poland. And then afterwards, we went to their church for the morning service. In Anya's church, Baptist Church, they have a custom that if anyone comes from another church, even in Poland, they bring greetings. I was asked to bring greetings. Anya translated for me, and I brought greetings from our church in Ballyclare. And I think this is a lovely custom. So this morning, I bring greetings from Ballyclare Church to you at Kilrats and wish you God's richest blessings. At the end of the greetings, I shared with the congregation a verse of scripture, which is a favourite of mine, and which I think is a wonderful verse, so full of hope and anticipation. It is verse 13 of the chapter which we read together from Titus. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. After coming home, I decided to prepare a message from this verse. Now, this epistle of Paul to Titus was written about 65 AD. Titus was a Greek who was one of Paul's converts and who went with Paul to Jerusalem. And some 7 or 8 years later, we find him in Crete. Now, Crete, an island southeast of Greece, and which some of you may have visited, borders between the Aegean and Mediterranean seas. Tradition says that Titus became bishop of Crete and died at an advanced age peaceably. Now, the subject matter that Paul deals with in this letter is the appointment of leaders, good works, and false teachers. What I would like to focus on and share with you this morning is this wonderful verse in chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, this verse speaks to us about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to look at this verse with you under four headings. Firstly, the person coming. Secondly, the anticipation of his coming. Thirdly, the certainty of his coming. And then fourthly and lastly, the manner of his coming. Firstly then, the person coming. And the verse very clearly tells us who this person is. Our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Our great God. The Shorter Catechism tells us that there are three persons in the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. The Bible tells us that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And yet it tells us that these three persons form only one God. This doctrine of the Trinity is anathema to Muslims and to Jews who believe there can only be a one-person God. Jesus is the God of all creation, the great God. Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17 tell us, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Yes, Jesus created the mountains of Mourne. He created the mighty, awesome, and majestic Himalayas. He created the tiniest insect and creepy crawlies. Let us look at just one example of his creation, the common blackbird. The blackbird is one of the most musical of birds. It has between 22 and 48 different songs in its repertoire. Some of these last only a few seconds, or a whole series may last for over 5 minutes. Not only do blackbirds sing solos, but they also sing duets. One bird will sing for a few seconds and then wait for another to reply. And this can go on for minutes on end. What does this tell us? That there is a great creator who displays his creativity all around us in the things he has made, even the beautiful songs of the birds. So Jesus is the great God, but this part of the verse also says, and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Some people mistakenly think that Christ is the surname of Jesus. Christ, due to the numerous mentions of Jesus Christ in the Bible. But Christ is the title of Jesus. Christ, from the Greek translation, means the anointed one, and from the Hebrew translation, the Messiah. Followers of Jesus became known as Christians because they believed that Jesus was the Christ or Messiah prophesied about in the Old Testament. Jews reject this still and are still eagerly and anxiously awaiting for Christ the Messiah to come. Then we have the name Jesus. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, he said to her in Luke 1 and 31, and behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Matthew 1 and 21 records it as, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then on that wonderful night when Jesus was born, the angel of the Lord told the shepherds on the hillside in Luke 2 and 11, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The name Jesus means Saviour. The word Saviour implies that there are people to save. There are people who are lost. And this is the condition of every one of us in church this morning. We are lost in our sins. David tells us in Psalm 51 and 5 that we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mother conceive us. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The famous Ulster evangelist W.P. Nicholson, late W.P. Nicholson, said that we are so sinful that we would put a spot in a bucket of tar. Sin is rebellion against God, and God must punish sin. God is holy and cannot allow sin to enter heaven. So we sinful creatures are born doomed to everlasting punishment. But here is where the great mercy and rescue plan of God comes into operation. Now, in the lifetime of many here today, we recall that wonderful occasion in July 1969 when mankind travelled from Earth to the Moon. And later then actually walked on the Moon. I have a Bible with a crescent moon drawn on one of the front pages. It was drawn and signed for me by Colonel James Irwin, Apollo 15 mission, 1971, who walked on the moon and who drove the first moon buggy. Yes, this was an amazing feat for mankind going to the moon. But it pales into insignificance when compared to the great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, leaving all of the wonders and splendours and glories of heaven above to come down to planet Earth, to take on himself human flesh and to be born as a helpless baby. But the babe of Bethlehem became the Christ of Calvary. Yes, the angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." Our verse says, our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Saviour. Is he your Saviour? Have you asked Jesus to forgive you your sins? If not, why not come to him today and ask him to forgive your sins, to come into your heart, to change your life, and to give you eternal life? Our text tells us that the person coming is our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Secondly, then, the anticipation of his coming. Our verse says, looking for the blessed hope. Looking for, in life there are many times when we look forward to an event with great anticipation. It may be a special birthday or a wedding, or the birth of a child, a holiday, a new home. Pupils and teachers from school look forward to their holidays. Yes, these can be very special occasions that fill us with expectant anticipation as the time gets nearer to the event. And also we can look forward to the coming of a person. British and American wives of soldiers who served in Afghanistan and Iraq looked forward with anticipation to their safe homecoming. And as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, we look forward with great anticipation to our Saviour Jesus coming back again to this earth. At his first coming, we were not with the shepherds to see him at his birth. We were not residents in Nazareth to see him working as a carpenter, working with the wood. We were not one of the crowd to listen to his profound teaching and to see his mighty miracles. We did not stand at Mount Calvary to watch him suspended between heaven and earth, dying on a Roman cross for our sins. Nor did we see his glorious ascension into heaven from the Mount of Olives. But when Jesus comes again, we will see him, worship him, and be with him. What a glorious prospect, and with great anticipation We look forward to this unique event. Thirdly, then, the certainty of his coming. Our verse states, looking for the blessed hope. The blessed hope. When we think of the word hope and use the word hope, the event or whatever may happen or may not happen. The word hope implies an expectation that it will come to pass, but there is no certainty. However, the hope that we read about in Scripture is not a vague, wishy-washy optimism. Instead, biblical hope is a strong and confident expectation with certainty that what God has promised in his word will be accomplished. The second coming of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ will most assuredly take place. And just as certainly we know and history confirms that Jesus came the first time, then he will come the second time. But how can we be certain about this? First of all, because Jesus himself said it. Excuse me. In John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And then an interesting reply from Jesus at his trial. And at Jesus' trial, we read in Mark that Jesus would not answer the high priest. Then the high priest asked him again, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." In instituting the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Then in Acts chapter 1, we read, "This same Jesus, which is taken up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." In many places throughout the New Testament, we read about the second coming of our Lord. The Apostle Paul, in all of his epistles, speaks of the Lord's return 50 times. In the Second World War, General Douglas MacArthur was Supreme Commander of the Allied forces in the Southwest Pacific area. And in March 1942, after defeat in the Philippines, he escaped from the Philippines to Australia. In a famous address in Australia, he stated, "I said to the people of the Philippines, I came and I shall return." On the 25th of October 1944, as the Allied invasion commenced, he fulfilled his pledge and waded ashore on a Philippine island. Jesus has come, and as he promised, he will come back again. But in the light of his coming, what should our response be? Well, as Christians, we should live lives that are holy. In Hebrews 12 and 14, we are told, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Zacharias, in his prophecy concerning Christ, said in Luke 1 and 75, that we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And us Christians, we must be on our guard concerning what TV programs we view, what books, magazines, and newspapers we read. Are they wholesome and good? We should guard our hearts and minds from all of the dirt and filth that surrounds us in a godless environment. In 1 John 1:28, we are instructed, "And now, little children, abide in him that, when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Yes, in our work and in our leisure, we should seek to live lives that are pleasing to God. But as non-Christians, what should our response be? We should be in fear and trembling. To think that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Judge of all the earth could come back at any moment, and we are not ready. The Bible tells us that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a holy God. When Jesus comes again, the day of grace will be ended. There will be no more time. No time to repent, no time to seek salvation, no time to get saved. Those who have not Jesus as their Saviour will be lost forever and ever. Jesus in Matthew 24:46 tells us, "They shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Dear friend, outside of Christ, follow Isaiah's advice and seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near, and be saved and safe for all eternity. Fourthly and lastly then, the manner of his coming. Our verse says, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ." The glorious appearance. What will be the manner of the glorious appearance? First of all, he will come in the clouds with power and great glory. Matthew 24:3 reads, "And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Then he shall come with his angels." Matthew 25:31 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. He shall come as lightning." Again, Matthew states in 24:27, "For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." He shall be visible. Revelation 1:7 tells us, "Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." And then in Thessalonians we are told the following, "He will come in brightness, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." He will come as a thief, 1 Thessalonians 5:2. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And he will come in vengeance and wrath," 2 Thessalonians 1:7 tells us, "and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then finally, he will come as judge and king. We read in Jude 14:15 says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all. But in conclusion, when will all this take place? Over the centuries, there has been much speculation, and some have even predicted the time of Christ's coming, second coming. William Miller of the Millerite movement predicted Christ's coming to be October the 22nd, 1844. When it failed to happen, it was later referred to as the Great Disappointment. And some of the Millerites continued to set dates, and others founded the Seventh-day Adventist Church. All who have set dates have been proved wrong. But the exact moment and time is known. It is known by God the Father. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 36, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Yes, Jesus himself, who is the one coming, does not know when. Matthew continues, "But as in the days of Noah, what they were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man." It is now 2,024 years since Christ walked on this earth. Yes, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. But one thing we do know, and that is that each day is one day closer to this momentous event. In Matthew 24 and 42, Jesus warns, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord will come." What a glorious day that will be. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 15 makes this amazing statement. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." If today you're outside of Christ, you're not saved, you've never trusted in Jesus as your personal Savior, you are in a most dangerous position. I would plead with you that while you are in the day of grace and opportunity, that you flee from the wrath to come. Repent, ask God for forgiveness, and receive Jesus as your Savior from sin. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And as Christians, may we live lives in obedience to God's commands, in holiness and uprightness, that will bring glory to God. And may we look forward with joy and anticipation to the Lord's return. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. She disappeared there. So we're going to conclude our service this morning by singing together our closing psalm is Psalm 50, and we're going to sing stanzas 1 to 6. The tune is Zurich 208. Psalm 50. The mighty God, the Lord, has spoken and did call the earth from rising of the sun to where it has its fall. And then stanza 3. Our God will surely come, keep silence will not he. Before him fire will waste, great storms will round about him be. Yes, no doubt about it, Jesus will surely come. The trumpet blast will sound, and Christ will come, King of kings and Lord of lords. Let us sing praise to God. Heavenly Father, we just, Lord, thank you for this service this morning. We thank you for your promise that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And, O God, we just do thank you for the gift of the Bible. And how we thank you, O God, that we are taught all the wonderful blessings, Lord, and all of the wonderful doctrines from your word. And, O God, how we learn about salvation. And how we learn all about Jesus coming as our Saviour on his first time here on this earth. We praise you, O God, for such a wonderful, wonderful story of salvation. But, O God, we just want to thank you that Jesus is coming again to this earth. We realise, Lord, that this world is in great turmoil, Lord, and Lord, we realise that you are sovereign. You are in control no matter what happens. And so, O God, we just praise you for that wonderful, wonderful anticipation of Jesus coming back again. And Lord, we do pray for any here this morning who as yet have not put their faith and trust in Jesus as their Saviour. O God, do draw them, Lord, with cords of love. Draw them, Lord, to yourself. And Lord, we do pray that those of us who have trusted in Jesus, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to live lives, Lord, that will honour you and that will glorify you. And now the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Thank you, Lois, for leading.